hear the word of God as it is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from a secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of God.
My dear brothers and sisters, we've got just one more session to do, then I've taken you right to 2 Peter. We'll do that in a couple of weeks' time. Next week we've got our lovely musical. We're looking forward to that. We're going to focus on the Lamb of God. Then we'll have Easter, and then we'll wrap up this book. But I want to remind you of what we started last Sunday. It's really, really, very, very important for us, if I may stress that as much as I can. What Peter has been doing in this last chapter is enabling you and me to focus on what is absolutely critical. And he has been taking us step by step through how this world is going to end. And there is an end. It's not going to go on forever. These are huge matters that he's reminded us of. He's reminded us, first of all, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to return in all his glory and his splendor. When he comes back, the dead are going to be raised. It was a tremendous joy for me yesterday to conduct a wedding of a very lovely and godly young girl that we've known for many years. And I had the pleasure of baptizing her as an infant. Can you believe it? Now marrying them. I thought, hey, I've got to admit, I think I'm getting on now. But it was a lovely time. It was a very, very lovely wedding. But there was a tinge of sadness because not too long ago, her younger brother had passed on from an incurable disease. And I just went to Mom and Dad and just put my arm around them and said, you know, we're thinking of you today. It's a great day, but I'm sure we remember your son. But she said, no, that's right. But one day, the resurrection. And I so admired them for that. You see, their whole hearts and lives are focused on the Bible. And that governs their thinking. And then there's going to be the day of judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge every man and every woman. Not only that, but Peter has reminded us that there will be the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements are going to melt with the heat. That every great monument that our world focuses on and bows down and scraped, he's going to be burned. There's no future. Then Peter says this. In the light of these things, he says, what kind of people ought you to be? And my dear friends, I want to remind you of these again and take you one step further this morning. And what Peter reminded us, number one, is that we ought to live holy and godly lives. So the first step is holiness. That's the one great topic that calls you and me to constantly be in prayer for and constantly be working on so that I can become a man or a woman that's got the mark of holiness. Now you and I have been set aside by the grace of God. We thank God for that. We've been set apart. Our sins have been forgiven. We are right with God. We thank Him for that. But now there is a process that is taking place whereby you and I are growing more like Christ. So in its relationship to God, holiness takes the form of a single-minded passion to please God by love and loyalty and devotion. But in relationship to sin, it takes the form of a resistance movement, a real discipline of never gratifying the desires of the flesh. And I long to be a holy man. Holiness. Holiness of life. What's the greatest tool that Jesus has given us to help us? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know these verses. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word. So for you and I, my brothers and sisters, we seek to saturate our lives with the Bible. To spend time every day with God. And as you spend time with God, and as you put it into practice, and as you meditate on what you read, and as you do what it says, your life is going to change. The second thing that we saw last Sunday was service. That once we've come to know Christ through the rebirth, there is a great longing that we want to serve Christ in whatever way that is. And you and I have all the different gifts, and we long in some way to put it into action and to be of service. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be apathetic. We don't want to be lethargic. We don't just want to be pewarmers. No. Peter is saying, in the light of all that's going to happen, give your life and your soul and your mind and your time and your money and your gifts and your energy to serving in some way the Lord Jesus. And that's not all. The third thing we saw is that we are filled with an eager anticipation. You see in verse 14, since you are looking forward to this. Lord Jones, remember we closed on this quote. He says, I fear that we, as we contemplate this glorious truth, feel condemned and upbraided. As we see how much of our time and our thought and our expectations we give to this world and to its affairs, but how little we think of the next world. Holiness, friends. Service. Eager anticipation. And the last one is diligence. And that's the theme for this morning. The last one is diligence. Listen to what he says. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort. I want to stress that again, as we did last Sunday. Now let's go back to when we started in January. The very same thought was there. Listen, in chapter 1 and verse 5. Same theme. For this very reason, make every effort. Now that is important. That is critical. We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But now, together, we work with God to produce a life that's honoring to Him. And you've got work to do. We don't sit back and do nothing. Let go and let God is not biblical. The Bible says to us, make every effort. Now, it takes effort. Tomorrow morning, when you and I wake up, you'll feel like getting up. If you like me. That alarm clock will go up quite early. And the old nature will say, stay in for a few moments. Think of the Sharks' victory. Or think about the Proteas winning again tonight. You see? And I tuck in there, and I say to myself, no. Get out. Get out of bed. And spend time with God. You've got an appointment with Jesus. Or maybe it's just me, but sometimes I don't always feel like praying. And the old nature causes one to let your thoughts wander. Does that ever happen to you? Sure, you come to pray and then you think of everything. And so you've got to be disciplined. I've got to work at that. I've got to set aside time when I can meet with my precious Father and my beloved Lord. And then I need to look into my life. And I see, we sang it at 8 o'clock, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And so as I come to the Word and I examine my life, the Word may expose areas where I've got work to do. And I work at it, and I'm diligent, and I'm seeking to be my utmost for His highest. Make every effort. My precious friends, your growth depends on you. No doubt about that. You determine your growth. Make the effort. And it's wonderful. Not because we have to, not bound by legalism, no. We do it because we've grown to love Him. We love Jesus. We want to grow. We want to spend time. We want to get right. Now, what must we work hard at becoming? Let's have a look here. Listen. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. That's challenging, isn't it? That is hugely challenging. So the first thing is, to be found spotless. Well, this is not talking about being perfect. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven. But let me read to you from our dear, dear friend, Matthew Henry. I've read lots of commentaries, but he was the best. He says, we must not only take heed of all the spots which are not the spots of God's children. But we must be found of Christ without spot. We must be pressing on towards spotless purity. If you're like me, sure, that's a challenge. Maybe even this morning you and I listen to that as Christians, as the Lord's people. And there may be some spots in your life. And when people remember you, they remember the spots. Don't they? They say, you see, I've watched you and I've listened to you. And I've seen this in your life. And we spend time with Jesus. We listen to his word, and he comes. You know, it's like, I'm sure it's happened to you more than myself. I remember I once got ITB in my knee. And I've got the strongest knees in the world, as you know. And I went to the doctor, I said, "Now, please just sort this out for me." And he got an injection, and he said, "Tell me, where is it sore?" And he pushes, you know, yeah, and he said, "Wah!" And he hit it on the spot, and then he jams and niggles it. And then it sorts it out. But that's what it's saying here. Lord, hit the spot. You've got a bad temper. Or you speak badly to people. Or it's your thought life. It's your jealousy. It's your rudeness. It's your arrogance. It's your lack of love and joy and peace. Or patience, or lack of kindness. That's what it's saying. And then I work at it. And I seek to put off, and I seek to put on. That's what Colossians says. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. By God's grace, I want to be spotless. And number two, blameless. So when we go through Timothy and Titus, which we did not too long ago, and he's looking for the qualifications for the leader, you remember that? The qualification is he must be blameless. There's no spots that you can show. So Christians are to be perfect in holiness, that they may be not only blameless before men, but also in the sight of God. All of this needs and deserves the greatest of diligence. And he who does this work negligently will never do it successfully. You can be negligent in a lot of things, dear friends, but if you neglect this, it's going to hinder your growth and your development. So let's be serious. Absolutely serious. Let's be willing to examine one's life and to spend time with God and then to say, "I want you to put it right." And how does God do that? He's given us some tools. The greatest tool God's given you to do this is the Bible. That's why it burdens me. When people spend so little time in the Bible, they'll let days go by and they don't even read the Bible. And I say, "Well, that's okay. But I can see it in your life. You've got to be diligent. That's hard work. God's given us the Word. Sanctify them through our Word. God's given us the Holy Spirit, who's our Paracletos, to help us. He's there to help us. And God's given us the fellowship of Christians. Every day of my little week, on a Tuesday morning, a Wednesday morning, and a Thursday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 to 1 is a week, I pray with men. And when we pray, I ask them, and then they ask me, "Warwick, how's your Bible reading going? How's your quiet time going?" That's question number one. How's your reading going? And we Shit, I tell you, I love those times. Because they sharp and they equip and they help us. So God says, I want you to make every effort to be spotless, to be blameless. And I've given you the Bible to help you. And I've given you the Spirit to help you. And I've given you my people to help you. And then lastly, number three, and at peace with him. And at peace with him. It's very important. Now you can go home and have a huge disagreement with your wife and then come down to pray. What happens? You feel that your prayers are hitting the ceiling. Do you feel like that sometimes? Or feel like a grass until you've gone and you said, I'm so sorry. I should never have said that. I'm very sorry. I should never have done that. And the moment you've said sorry and you've gone to your gracious Father, it's lovely. The peace is there. Yes, we are justified. And we thank God for that, and He'll never let us go. But to be at peace is a great blessing. Listen to Him one more time. Matthew Henry wrote, never expect to be found at peace with God if you are lazy and idle, in which you must finish the work given to you. It's only the diligent Christian who will be the happy Christian on the day of the Lord. So will you allow me as your brother? And won't you help me, please? Let's ask ourselves this morning. Am I marked by holiness? Is that a mark of my life? At work, at home, on the golf course? Is my life given to service for Christ in whatever form it takes? Am I eagerly living for eternity? And am I making every effort in my life to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him? That's what it says. There's one last thought that I'm going to share with you, and it says this. And grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One word of caution. And the word of caution is this, dear friends. That is an impossibility for the natural man. It only begins when you've given your life to Jesus. It begins with a conversion, and it begins when you put your faith and trust in Christ. It's so lovely, man. Things like this thrill me more than anything, I'm afraid, but after our 8 o'clock service here, one of the ladies came to me and says, you know, I just wanted to phone you on Friday. So I said, man, I wish you would have phoned me. I said, what did you want to tell me? She says, you know, on Friday, I led one of the other women in my office to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? It was lovely to hear that. You see, service is all sorts of things. Let's eagerly live for eternity. And let's never be lazy, spiritually speaking. Never apathetic. Never giving it the least amount of time. But saying to God, dear God, you have saved me. I'm safe in your hands. When the storms come, I'm safe. But I want to tell you today that I want to grow. I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow so that I become spotless, blameless, and at peace. We're going to pray. Let's do that together. We're going to be quiet just for a few seconds. Then we're going to go back home and get caught up with all the activities of life. And maybe God has just touched on some area in your life that you want to put right. Maybe there are some of these spots. Bring it to Jesus this morning. Our gracious, wonderful Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to be together as a family this morning, to listen to your word, and to see the great challenge and awesome responsibility it places upon us to make every effort. Please forgive us for not always making that effort. And while we know we can never lose our salvation, we long to be my utmost for his highest. And so we ask you now humbly that you part us with your blessing. We hope our musical next Sunday could be a huge encouragement and blessing to everyone who visits us. Once you draw friends here who don't know Jesus. And we ask this all in your precious name. Amen.